Thank you, Damien. Isn't it impressive what Damien can say in a smile? Huh? I mean, he can instruct you, encourage you, or rebuke you. He can do it all in a smile. I'm going to have to ask him how that's accomplished. I don't know how to do that. It's very impressive, and I'm thankful for it. I want to speak to you this morning again on the topic of fruitful Christian living, but in regard to what's required for fruitful Christian living. Here's the thing. It seems, you know, as one observes both in the local church and observes the church around the world, actually, having been in a few of them, and do a fair amount of reading about the content of the church and its condition in this season of time in America. And it is revealed that many Christians are Christians for lengthy periods of time, but they do not necessarily find fruitful Christian living over a long span of time. Hello. Now, that doesn't happen in much of life in other kinds of ways, does it? I mean, if you go to school, you're progressing year after year. You're reading better. You're learning mathematics to degrees that you never thought possible. You're increasing in the English language. And if you sent your children to school and they came home after 10 or 15 years of education and they were very low in those subjects, what would be your assessment? It'd be stinging to the school, would it? You'd be looking for something different. Here we are as Christians, and God has encouraged us and invited us to fruitful Christian living in that, John 10:10, he said, well, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That certainly means fruitful Christian living, wouldn't you say? And so I am passionate about helping believers come to fruitful Christian living in every area of their life. And I am passionate about Ephesians chapter 4 and anything and everything that's said in it. But the primary thing that's said in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 15 is that we are invited to come to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. How many have ever thought about that with some deep thinking? Let me see. And after you did, what did you decide? Wow, what an invitation. I want that. I want to achieve that. And if you decided that, what did you decide after that, and what kind of plan did you make? Because we know that maturity, particularly, no matter what kind of maturity we're talking about, is always a process, right? The only thing in Christianity that's instantaneous is that first revelation you had that Jesus is the Christ. And you were saved in that instant of that revelation. That's forever and always and cannot be disqualified, doesn't get better and can't get worse. Hello? Doesn't get better, can't get worse. It's settled. But your maturity and how fruitful you live in the context of being a Christian, that can get better. And it can go lower or it can go higher, dependent on what you understand about how it's achieved. And even when you come to understand the process that's required to achieve that, you have to join that process. First, you have to find the motivation to do so. How many here like failing in any kind of way? You like failing. Why do you like failing? Ah, That's a good answer, buddy. We could applaud that. So it's not that he likes failing. He likes the result of a right response to failing. Hello? All we need to do and figure out as Christians is give God a right response to His invitation to live a fruitful life. And the Bible has some significant things to say about that. To begin with this morning, I want to review a bit what I shared with you last week from Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus talked about soil types. You remember that? And we concluded that if you want a fruitful life, you have to upgrade your soil. Because God sows seeds for fruitful living in good soil where it takes root, and the depth of the root and the quality of the root comes from the planting of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we know that that's part of the process. There were some other things mentioned there as well. It was said that to obtain good soil, you've got to be a good listener. Jesus in Matthew 13 talked about those who hear but don't hear. They hear what He's communicating. The sound, the words pass by, but it does not get the depth that it's got to have in the person. How do we know if we're a good hearer? We know by the fruit that's produced. If you're hearing well, there's good fruit produced. But we also know and have concluded that we don't hear just to hear. We hear because we know that hearing's part of the process toward the fruitful living. We hear and we act and we obey what it is that we've heard. We don't just blow it off. And I mentioned this last week. When your children were little, now that they're older, they don't do this. When they were little, and when they were immature, you said, "Johnny, only two cookies." There were a dozen on the plate. You went, put in some laundry, or went to the garage and got some tools. You came back, and the 12 cookies were gone. What did you say? "Johnny, I said just two cookies. You ate 12. "Well, I was hungry, Dad." I'll give you grace this time. God gives us grace. I'm not talking about condemnation if you don't obey. Remember, you got salvation. It's instant and it's forever. And that's the avenue of grace. But if you want to live fruitful in this life, then you've got to obey. And the question is, why would you obey? Out of fear? No, that won't work. Yes, out of love. You want to live the fruitful life that He died to give you. And you come to the conclusion that if you hear and obey, that you start down the path of fruitful living and it gets better and better and better. So we don't just hear it and say, "Well, I ought to do that." Over 44 years of ministry, I've met with lots of people with lots of different problems, and the most of them Christians. And I've heard some horrific stories about behavior. I mean, some deep sin. Would you like to hear about it? Good, because I won't tell you. But I have learned this. There's something missing in the equation. They're sincere, they were saved, but oftentimes they have this pattern of behavior. You must figure out how to interrupt that pattern of behavior. It requires true hearing. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to not be dull in the hearing. Hearing's kind of like oxygen to soil. If you know much about gardening or farming, you know that plowing the earth is necessary because it gets a crust on the top and oxygen isn't getting into the soil. So the soil is broken up, turned over, so the oxygen can get to it. Then you plant the seed. You can't plant seed and expect it to grow in soil that isn't oxygenated. Are you with me? When I was a boy where I came from, raised on the farm, there was not a better feeling and a better smell than fresh earth being turned over. And you followed behind the plow getting the worms for the fishing, you know. Barefoot, of course. Really. The earth was cool. It squished between your toes and the worms with it. If you learn to hear, it'll be like that. It'll feel good. Here's the mistake. Many Christians try to feel their way to acting on the Word of God. And it never works. Because it's the wrong sequence. We must act our way in obedience to the good feelings we desire. Hello? If you reverse that, it's backwards. You're going to end up with bad feelings and a whole lot of trouble and no fruit for it. Hello? Obedience is acting on the truth. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you and fruitful." And fruitful. If you're free, you can be fruitful. But what does it mean there where it says free? Free to what? Free from what? Free from yourself. The devil is a little challenge to a person who's died to themselves. Hello? He can't mess with you. But if you're real needy, he can mess with you. If you're not obedient, if you're a dull hearer, he can mess with you. But we're our worst enemy. We want to feel good. How many like to feel good? I like to feel good. The reason that I like obeying, the reason I like eliminating debt and saving money is I like to feel good. Hello? I could go off on that eliminating debt and saving money. Would you like me to? I just can't do it. I'm sorry. It's glorious, though. Free! I mean free! Free! I'm not bragging, just testifying. Well, maybe boasting a little, but boasting in Jesus Christ, like the Apostle Paul said, I owe no man nothing, not a dime. Not a dime. I hadn't had a car payment. I had a fine car that I had payments on. 1966 Plymouth Belvedere, 335 horse, 4-speed, 411 rear end, hard top, all the windows down in the summertime. Beautiful woman like my wife. That's the last car I had a car payment on. 1966. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm speaking in a dream. I'm not speaking in a dream. I'm talking about reality. You learn to hear God and obey Him, and you act your way in obedience, you'll have some really good feelings, and the fruit will be stacked up as high as you can ever imagine. Are you with me? I'm telling you the truth, and it's all possible. And it comes not out of your... The final fruit isn't out of your obedience, you know. It's out of His sovereignty. Your obedience simply qualifies you for His sovereignty to go to work in a supernatural way. You understanding what I'm saying? We need help. And He'll give it. But He has the conditions wherein He reveals those conditions, and we must get in sync with Him, and then He goes to work. So we must be good hearers and seeing. We've got to see who Jesus is. We've got to see and understand the Bible, the Word of God, and the principles that He calls us to access. And we got 20/20 in the Spirit. You can't go where you can't see. Hello? Don't you just love these new navigational systems? At first, I kicked against it. Some years ago, we were on a vacation in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes. And my daughter-in-law, it was the first time she was with us on a vacation, and had the baby in the car, and we were going ahead of my son to this lake in Minnesota, and I had a map. And I really love my map. And I'm good with a map. Not bragging, just testifying. My wife, God bless her, she don't trust maps. Well, it says right, but I don't think so. Hello? I'm trusting the map, and we're not getting there. I mean, it's not working. I didn't know why, but my daughter-in-law says, "Oh, Dad, I can resolve that." And this is, 8, 9 years ago. I'm thinking, I don't want none of that. That thing lies. They never tell the truth. That thing lies. I'll be driving around here. I'm going to end up seeing all 10,000 of the lakes. That's what's going to happen. Okay. 2.5 miles, Ruskin Road left. I hadn't known her all that long. I didn't want to hurt her or offend her. But I'm just inside. Ruskin Road. 2.5 miles left. Okay. We could be lost in the Minnesota wilderness here and die. That's what's going to happen. I couldn't get loose from my yesterday pattern of the map. When we're caught in something as believers and Christians and we're not getting loose of it, look, there has to come a change. If you're not finding maturity, if you're not living the fruitful Christian life, something's missing, something's wrong. Yes and amen? Let's change. Ruskin Road left. Okay. We're going to come to a road up here called Greenville Road. Yeah, I'm right. And this is what's happening here. We're going into the green Minnesota wilderness and we'll never come out. And the mosquitoes are big as helicopters. We'll die here. We get to that road. We make the turn. She said, "It's about 100 yards on the left, Dad." "Sure it is." And I was saying, "Oh, great. Sure it is. Sure. 100 yards. There's the cottage we rented. There it is." What do you do then? I still don't believe these things. They're liars. They're all liars. But I didn't do that. I rejoiced. Hello? Hello? That's how people feel who have been a Christian a long time. Hadn't found fruitful Christian living. You're just staying with what you know. You've got to let go of it. Give it up. The fruit comes from the change that's required. If the fruit's not there, then change is demanded. Change is required. And we have missed something. We must be hearers and seers. And hearers and seers come, like I said last week, they come to an understanding. What do they come to an understanding of? First, it's who they come to an understanding of. We come to an understanding of who Jesus Christ really is and what He wants to do in our life. That must precede anything else. He has a way that some people refuse, not knowing that their way is the way of death and His way is the way of life. Hello? If it's not fruitful, you hadn't found understanding of Him, of His ways, and trust of His principles. So therefore, you're not following and obeying the very process that will get you to the place you want to go, and you keep praying and praying and praying. Well, Lord, I need help. I need help. And He said, I sent you a helicopter and a rowboat, and you didn't get in either one of them. Meaning, He's sent His Word. And He also provided the Holy Spirit to bear witness of the truth, guide us in prayer, convict us of sin. We don't really have an excuse. Let's start hearing. Let's start seeing. Let's get the understanding that's needed. Now, what inhibits this? Everybody wants fruitfulness. What inhibits it? The greatest inhibitor, if I were to ask you if Satan was the greatest inhibitor, you'd probably raise your hand. He's not. It's us. Because Jesus in us is the hope of glory. And the threat of Satan's attack is not greater than the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of glory that is in us. That can't be true. So the problem's with us. Now, what's the composition of the problem? You've heard me communicate about this before, but I fear, I am concerned that you heard it. That's a little deep for me, Dennis. Yeah, that sounds good, but... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. You just keep going over it, over it. You just keep... Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. Why is it sharp and why is it two-edged? Because it must pierce. It must pierce asunder. Divide and cause a separation of our soul and our spirit. Then and only then can you hear. Your soul cannot sufficiently hear. Your soul is comprised of mind, will, and emotion. Your mind can hear a truth, but it can't embrace one. It can't be convicted upon one. It can't have a conviction of biblical truth that it would die for before it would ever give it up. Hello? And that's the definition of a conviction. But your spirit, is that part of your humanity that came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit communes with this day. And when you read the Word of God, it's your spirit that must take in the truth of that Word, and it will set your spirit free from the dominance of your soul, and you will work this process under the glory of God, and your life will become fruitful. I'm telling you, gloriously fruitful. When was the last time you were offended? Was it 2 weeks ago? Everybody in the 2 week category. Hands up. 1 week ago. A couple of brave souls in the back. 3 days ago. Two brave souls right and left. Yesterday. Whoa, now we're coming close. Maybe yesterday's a pattern, pretty steady. If I ask you how recently you've been offended, if I ask you tomorrow, if I happen to see you and I ask you when's the last time you've been offended, and it was still yesterday. Oh, we're on to something now. We're on to something. We're finding out that you've been offended every day. Every day. Being offended is not fun. It's just like a plague come on you, trying to strip you of what? Of your hearing, of your seeing, of your understanding of who Jesus Christ is and the application of all His truth. You might walk right down Straight Street to the narrow gate and walk right in like you own the place. You with me? You own it. But if you never get the two-edged sword to pierce, separate your soul from your spirit, you cannot. You cannot grasp what I'm trying to say of the process in a way that's going to help much. For the Word of God is living. It's got life in it. It's active, meaning it does something. It does something. Life does something, and sharp, meaning it has ability. There's nothing we suffer from that the sharpness of that sword cannot separate us from. Hello? No matter. I don't care if you've had this pattern since you were a boy 12. Now you're 50. And you're still tempted with the same thing. This sword's active and it's sharp and it's able. This sword can do it. Two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit. The soul will say, well, you have to do it. You're just so hungry for it. You've had this pattern all this time. It'll tell you every lie. Satan doesn't even have to show up. Your soul will be Satan for you if you will allow it to. Some of you are looking like, well, I'm not that bad. No, you're not. Spiritually. But your soul, left to govern itself, will rob, steal, and destroy you. Are you aware of that? It's got a function that God has designed, and it takes care of that function. But in Christianity, our spirit, the reason for the division is our spirit gets saved. Our spirit is in communion with God. Our spirit is convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, even if we do sin, it's short, it's fleeting. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. We repent, we're done. We're just moving on in our fruitful living life. On and on and on it goes. Better it gets. If you don't know this, and you don't comprehend this, it's a lot of stumbling at best. That can be avoided. Piercing as far as the division of soul and of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The heart, used in the Bible, means it describes the whole person. The spiritual person, the natural person of the soul, and the physical person. The whole person. The Word of God. If you have an issue, do a topical study of God's Word. Memorize a couple of key verses there and take that truth and let it be in you, in your spirit. Absorb it through your mind. Let your spirit get a hold of it. Let your soul find its submissiveness to that truth, and you will be free. Hello. But just,
I got a problem. I'm praying, Pastor. I've been praying for years. How's it working for you?
Well, it's not. Why isn't it working? Somebody tell me from what I've said here. Can anybody do it? Pardon? No change. Why not? Why has there been no change? Self. Self will never listen and self will never see. It is incapable. The scripture, Paul says so in 1 Corinthians. He says that the natural man is unable to appraise spiritual things because they are foolishness to him. Quit. Give it up, man. Get this separation of soul and spirit. It all changes. Next time I do a survey of how long ago was it you were offended? Some of you don't put your hands up. You can't remember it's been so long. It is possible. It is possible to be unoffendable. You want to try it out? Who wants to try it out? If you want to try it out, I'll come and slap you in the face. Just give you, an unholy whack. Bam! I'm almost serious. Almost. Are you understanding me? You ready to die? You see, we're a little late for our death. You realize that. We're past due. We're supposed to die in salvation at the cross. And we begin from there under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Word of God coming into our full maturity like Jesus Christ living the abundant life with no car payment in 50 years. More than 50. 54. Hello? Don't you think it's time? I think it's time. I'm getting a little wore out too from it not being your time. I'm not complaining. Just being transparent. And I'm not saying everybody's not mature. I don't know who is and who isn't. I don't know what goes on inside you. But the Holy Spirit does. And He'll speak to us. Let's stand, shall we? Please. Don't allow your self-thoughts as like, well, Dennis's expectations are just too high. They're not my expectation. It's God's invitation through His Word. I'm just a vessel of His, trying to communicate what He wants to give. Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that this would be a morning that we would grab hold of Your offer of fruitful Christian living. And we'd be willing like never before to deal with ourselves in light of Your ministry, Holy Spirit, to bring that two-edged sword. If we haven't been dead, kill us. Separate us of soul and spirit. So that we might have life and have it abundantly, and in so doing we make Your name known and a testimony raised up in all the earth that the church is the vessel of God that we might find our freedom and express the greatest joy that ought to be coming to mankind through the work of the cross. Simple question I have. Are you ready to see and hear and get your understanding like you've never gotten it before. If you want that in a greater way than you've had it, come join me. And this need not be a sullen time, for there is no guilt nor shame nor condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No guilt, no shame. The joy of the Lord truly is our strength. Let's worship Him for a time.